Okay, but say Parshas Vayechi. Let's look into the parasha and see what this week's gems of the parasha can teach us. If we look in Perek Memches, Pasuk Chof Beis is one of the biggest sages that we cannot ignore in this week's parasha. As I was going through the parasha today to try and figure out what we can learn from the parasha, what we can really gain from it. So there were so many things that crossed my mind. There's this mahalach, there's this mahalach. However, there's one nekuda in this week's parasha that we might have mentioned previously in different settings. However, I feel that we can't let the parasha go by without properly really going through the inyan again, giving ourselves a little bit of a chazora of the inyan. So we look in parasha in Perek Memches, Pasuk Chof Beis. It goes as follows: Vanino sata nechoshchem, achad alachecho shalakachti miyade emoyri becharbi uvekashti. Very interesting words over here. Right, Ashalakhti miyade emoiri, right? I took from the emoiri. Bacharbi bakashti. Now, what is this word bacharbi bakashti? So it comes along Targum Ungulus on the side and it says Bitsloisi uvivousi, as I state in Ungulus, with my bow and with my arrow, right? So there's a Gemara, famous Gemara in Baba Basra, Kufchov Beis, where the Gemara in Baba Basra over there says, are you telling me over here that he really took Yaakov Avinu, took his bow and took his arrow? What's pshat? Says the Gemara as follows: Charbi zu tfila, kashti zu bakasha. The Gemara learns out the lashonis over here are very interesting. That the Targum is teaching us pshat in the pasuk is when Yaakov Avinu said, "I took my charbi or bakashti." What did he take? His bow and his arrow, which is not meant to be taken literally. He took his tefillah. He took his tefillah and his bakasha. Now if you look at the Rashbam says a beautiful vort. Look at the Rashbam. Shehisbalal Yaakov al Bonov, v'shezocha liknois ha-bochorim me'esov, betfilasai. Says the Rashbam, a question. We would have thought that Yaakov Avinu, as we know from previous parshas, bought, right, rightfully so, bought the Bechorah from Esav. It's his. He bought it. Belongs to him. Says the Rashbam, no, don't make this mistake. Avada, he bought it from him. But how did he get it? How was he zoicha to have the Bechorah? One word. Bitfilosai. As I state in Rashbam. Now the Maisa, which is a tremendous yisoid for us, and it teaches us that however much a person should get something, could get something, it's for his, it belongs to him, b'chuli. Of a tefillah is the item that actually gives it to the person rightfully. What's the comparison between a bow and an arrow and tefillah? Right? Chazal are telling us, the Torah is telling us, Chazal are darshaning what's pshat, that a bow and an arrow is compared to tefillah. What is the comparison between a bow and an arrow and tefillah? Says the Kotzker Rebbe, says, imagine when you take a bow and an arrow, the closer you move the bow to your heart, to your body, the further the arrow goes out, the more koyach it has. Zog the Kotzker, unbelievable. Tfilah is exactly the same. The closer you bring it into your heart, the closer there's a meaning to it, the more koyach it has, the more potential it has to go up to Shemayim and reach the Kisei HaKovoid. Zug the Maral, Mayudika Maral and Go'ariyeh. Zug the Maral, a similar thing as well. A bow and an arrow, according to the koyach that you put into the shooting, according to the koyach that you put in bringing it out and bringing it forth, Zug the Maral is the same thing by tefillah. The more koyachos you give it, the more meaning you give it, the more potential that it has. There's a moyudik meshech chokhmah, Rabbi. So this week's parasha, you have to look this up yourself. This can change your light. This meshech chokhmah. The meshech chokhmah writes, he looks at the two words of unklus. The two words of Ungus that we mentioned, Bitzloisi, Uvavusi, Zult, the Meshach Chochma, Gamaldegazach. What are these two words? And he says that it means as follows. Tzloisi is Tefillah Kavua. Shemoyne Esra. The Tefillah that Chazal set us to daven every single day, three times. Uviusi is a private tefillah, something you make up on your own, something that you just sort of, on the spur of the moment, you just like the, you ever saw women making a challah, making a kegel, making a cake? They daven zu b'ayin shenoylam. They push a daven, that's how it is. Right? Mekayim ha'merit ha'ge mitzvah. Zog de meshech chachma. There's two halachim of tefillah. Chalek number one is the tefillah that Chazal set up for us in the kavua fashion, da'ayinu shmeina esra. And the other part is the private shmeina esra, the private davening that a person does on the spur of the moment, davens to Rabbanu Shalom in English, whatever he wants to say, he can say, and it's always listened to. Says the Meshech Chochma as follows, a very big difference. Zud the Meshech Chochma, tevila kavua, meaning shmeina esra, was set up by Chazal, which means, even without the kavana, it always reaches, it always gets somewhere. Why? Because the Chazal put the dynamite inside the words. You just have to say the words of Shmei Esra, bang! Dynamite lights up and off it goes. The koyach is in the words. Chazal gave us the koyach. Mimela. If a person doesn't have the kavana, gavaldi! It still works. Whereas a private prayer, when a person offers a tefillah that is not set up by Chazal, that's a private tefillah, it wasn't designated by Chazal, here you need a kavana. Says the Meshech Chochma, beautiful. Says the Meshech Chochma, this is pshat. What's the pshat of the Meshech Chochma? Why Targum Unkos compares the fixed prayer, the tefillah kavua that Chazal set up as the sword, as the arrow, as the spear, but the private prayer is the bow that shoots it. What's the comparison? It's Mamash Gavald, it fits in like a glove. He says as follows. A sword, a spear, the arrow, this kills itself. So we need kavana a little bit, this little bit, that way. It gets in there, it kills it, this does the damage. The bow, on the other hand, is nothing by itself. It doesn't do anything. It has the korach, but it by itself is not anything. You need more kavana. You need precision when it comes to a bow. This is why a private tefillah, one that we offer, we have to have kavana. Whereas a tefillah b'tzibur, a tefillah that's done, set up by Chazal, doesn't have to have the same kavana. I want to go back a couple of psukim to explain right to where I'm coming from. In Perek Melches, Pasuk Yud, the Pasuk says as follows, very, very interesting. Ve'eina Yisrael kovdu mizayken la yucha lirois. The Torah is telling us that when it came to Yaakov Avinu, because he was old, whatever the reason is, Rashi brings down, Chazal tell us whatever the reason why it came that way, but he couldn't see. Pashut, he couldn't see so well. Nu, as ma. Comes along the Svarna, and the Svarna says a moedik of all. Zug the Svarna. Yaakov's in his inability to see in such a tremendous way prevented him from establishing a bond with his grandchildren, and therefore that Zuktosvono stopped that his bracha becoming true to its fullest potential. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein brings down in the Sefer that in order for a person to get bracha, to give bracha, to receive bracha, the closer you are to the item, the closer you are to the person, the more koyach he has, the more potential it has. Rabbi said, there is nowhere more that we can see that by tefillah. Push it. When it comes to tefillah, if we come into the Beis Medrash, we come into the Beis HaKnesses, into Shul, for a Shachos, for a Mincha, and a Maariv, and we're so far removed, then it's no wonder that we come in and we say, no cheshit to daven. I don't need it, it doesn't mean anything to me. Come on, we're leaving out Perush HaMilis, we don't understand the word. Oh, but we're so far removed. We don't understand the koyach of a tefillah. That's something we're lacking, Rabbi Yisai. And that's something I want to speak about. I mentioned this maisa. Remember this maisa, it's a modika maisa. Rabbi Chaim Kaufman once said over this maisa that there was a big maggid in Yerushalayim, and he went over to a doctor. It was the days where penicillin was not produced in a pill form. Penicillin was a big bottle, and you used to go to the doctor every so often when you were sick, once a day, and he'd give you an injection, and then the penicillin would go in. There was no pills to be taken. It was a tremendous invention, it was a tremendous discovery. Everybody was so excited about this penicillin. And this big maggid from Yerushalayim went to a big doctor in Tel Aviv, and he said, do you have an empty bottle of this penicillin medicine? And he said yes. I have an empty bottle. What are you going to do with it? I need it. So he gives it to him. He wonders, what is this rabbi doing with this empty bottle of penicillin? Wow. So he asked someone, who is this rabbi? He said, oh, he's a big speaker. He goes around the whole place speaking to hundreds and hundreds of people. So it's very, very nice. So he said, I'd like to know, what does he do with this empty bottle of penicillin? No. So he says, I'm asking, where does he speak tonight? So he said, he's speaking in a shul, somewhere in Yerushalayim, whatever it is. She said, great, I want to go listen to him. So he goes over to the speech, and he sees the place is packed, jam-packed. You can barely get in there. This doctor comes in, curious to see, what's this rabbi going to speak about? When's he going to bring out this bottle of penicillin? In the middle of the schmooze, he's talking about Rabbi Isai. There's an amazing invention. What's this invention? He takes out from under the stand of this big empty bottle, big writing, penicillin on it. And he says, look at this discovery. Because of the doctor's discovery, these now we have a cure for people that are sick with the flu, with the cold, this, that, and the other. Unbelievable discovery. And everyone goes, ooh, ah, wow. And then he said, but Rabbi Isai, there's a bigger discovery. And the doctor's thinking in the back of the shul, he's thinking, what, a bigger discovery than this? What do you mean? I just gave him this bottle of penicillin. What could be bigger than this? I have to see what he's going to do. And he goes closer and closer. He says, what can he be producing now? And the maggid comes out. And the shtender says, Rabbi, I want to show you something that's a bigger discovery. And he takes out a bottle. And he says, this is a bottle of tears. This tears is from an honest tefillah. When a person has an honest tefillah, and he really says to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he wants something, that discovery came many, many years before penicillin. We have the discovery with us, we just don't realize it. We have it within us, the koyach is within us. There was a famous maisa that was told by one of the Magidim Yerushalayim. I said, over such a moedig maisa, there was a boy, a goyish boy, and he was in an orphanage in Peru. And this poor boy was nebuch, he went through the rounds, you know, poshut, breakfast, lunch, supper, chores, homework, whatever he had to do. In this orphanage, no mother, no father, no one to care for him. And it really, really bothered him. And day in and day out, he was sad and he missed his parents, what's going on? And so one day he said, that's it, I need to do something about it. So what does he do? He takes a piece of paper and a pen, and he makes a letter. And he writes a letter, puts it in an envelope, and he writes, to God. And he posts it in the postbox. Now, the postman gets up, and he sees all the post, and he sees that one letter says, to God. Now, what most people would have done, would have opened it up, and see where's it come from, what's going on. But in Peru, there was a famous klal. There was a general rule in Peru that nobody ever opens up somebody else's post. It was superstitious, nobody ever did it. So he wouldn't touch it, chas v'shalom, would never touch somebody else's post. So he passed it on to his manager. Manager said, who, me? I'm not going to open this envelope. So he patched it on to his superior. And eventually it goes around the country. And all the media are already involved. There's a letter. Nobody can open it. What's going on? It ends up on the Prime Minister's desk. The Prime Minister of Peru. Sitting on the desk. And it says over there, to God. So he gets his letter. No monkey business. Closes the door. Locks it. Slowly takes his envelope opener. And he opens up this letter. And he starts reading. And he says, dear God, my name is whatever it is. I'm 9 years old, and I have no mother, no father, nobody looks after me, and I'm so sad. Maybe you can get me a mother and a father. Thank you very much. Signed, whatever his name is. And you can imagine the tears that were rolling down this Prime Minister's face. He never had any kids of his own. He was never zoichet to have his own children. And it really, really got into his heart. He called his big supervisors, and he called in his wife. He said, what should we do? And they said, you know what, let's check him out. Let's see what he's about. So they sent a big stretch limousine to make a whole investigation. Where's he from? They figured it out. They went to go fetch him. They brought him to the Prime Minister's office. And he's a charming little boy and all excited, whatever it is. Zug de Magid from Yerushalayim, Mekaval de Gazach. We say in Ashrei that if a person turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the MS, right, the Chokoy Be'emes, if you come to the Ribbono Shel Olam Be'emes with a real Ratzon, with a real Emes and truth, then you have such a Koyach inside of you that you have no idea what you can do. It's a tremendous, tremendous thing, Rabbi Yisai. Everybody knows the famous Maisa, that there was a, there were people at the Koysel, and they saw a big motorbike coming to the Koysel Amaravi. Huge motorbike, big noise, two big guys with leather jackets, earrings all down their ear, come to the Koysel, they somehow managed to get in, nobody knew why. They got off the motorbike. They take out a piece of paper. One of them takes out a piece of paper. He starts writing something. He shows it to his friend. His friend looks at it. He nods. Yeah, yeah. Closes it up. Puts it into the wall. Gives the wall a kiss. And off he goes, zooming off. And they ask, everyone's looking, I wonder what's going on over here. And they said, what's Pshat? You know who these people are? These people are paying for one of the football teams in the local places here in Israel. And before the team started to play, so they come to the Kosel and they daven. They put a note into the Kosel in order to daven to Hashem. These people are people that have no shaykhus, but they know that it means that tefillah is a tefillah. A tefillah to the Rabbeinu Shloim be'emes has a gewaldige, gewaldige siyata d'shmaya. It's tremendous. Rabbi Sai, there's a famous Gemara. Famous Gemara, this one. The Gemara says like this. Says the Gemara, before we get to the Gemara, but I want to mention a Nakuda, which I think is a very chosh of a Nakuda. And that is as follows. What's the pshat that we don't have the simcha? What's the pshat that we don't have the geshmak out of a tefillah? Maybe some of the fault belongs to us as well. I want to tell you a gavaldiga marshal. Gavaldiga marshal, this one. You got to hear this marshal. There was a chasana, huge chasana. And as we know, after the chuppah, the chasan and the kala go to the yichud room. There was this chasana, a certain place where the chasan and the kala got to the yichud room. They close the door of the yichud room, and the kala sees in the corner of the room is a Filipino man. She says to her husband, she knows that he comes from, you know, this very, very wealthy home with all servants and everyone. So she says, "What's he doing here? It's a yichud room." Oh, he said, "What do you mean? Maybe, you know, we might need something. I maybe need another drink. Maybe need some more food or something. So in case we need something, you know, you can get it for her." "So, are you crazy? It's a yichud room. You can't let someone in." "Okay," he said, "don't worry about it. I won't speak to him. I'll just like sign language. I'll just go, you know, that sort of thing. And he'll know what to do. He'll know where to go." She goes, "You must be crazy. I'm getting out of here." Come. Where did this mice happen? Where did this happen? So I'll tell you where it happened. It happened right here in the yeshiva. Right here in this base medrash. We come over here every single day to davening. Right? We say, "Tfilim v'rastachi ba'olam." When we yachad with the Rabbeinu Shalom, we say, "Ah, Rabbeinu Shalom, we are donating half an hour of our time to you." And then we pull out this Filipino, Pelophony, whatever you want to call it. And oh my gosh. "Ah, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to speak to the phone. Let's go, the sign language, right? That's called yichud. That's called close to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's called a tefillah. Avada not. Maybe it's our fault. If we don't give it the right... if we don't give it the right look, if we don't look at it in the right way, with the right koyachas, with the right way that it's meant to be looked at, that give it the proper frame of mind, and we come into tefillah thinking, well, anyway, no one's listening, right?" How many people say that? Everyone knows the famous Maisa, right? With one of the Gedolim in America. And he went over and he was walking past at a bus stop, and there was a woman, a Jewish firm woman, coming out of a church. He says, "What are you doing coming out of a church?" So she says, "What do you mean? I'm going to go speak to the priest. You have to understand, it's amazing," she says to the rabbi. "Rabbi, you've never seen anything like this. I can speak to the priest and I can confess and I can give all of my avarias and everything I've done. And I just feel amazing about it." She says, "Oh," he says to her, "we have the same thing in Judaism. The same thing. What are you doing?" So she says, "Rabbi, you don't understand. Over here in the church, someone's actually listening." Now, the rabbi said to her, "You made a tremendous mistake. How many of us are the same situation? We come to davening, we say the words, mumble as quick as could be, try and do whatever we can, but the mice and nobody's there. We're not there in it ourselves because we don't believe anyone on the other side listening. If we would for 5 minutes, for 2 minutes, before we put it out, tefillin, before we say Ashrei by Mincha, think, hold on a minute, there's someone listening. There's actually someone listening. Who cares?" Everybody today said Avinu Malkeinu, right? What's Avinu Malkeinu? Avinu, why do you say Avinu Malkeinu? Double Loshen. What's Avinu Malkeinu? Avinu means our father. A king, a Malkeinu is our king. Why both? Because sometimes a person is a king, he's got all the money in the world, but he doesn't want to do anything. He's only interested in helping you. Sometimes a person's a father, and he hasn't got the ability to help you, because he just hasn't got the means to. Here we're saying the Ribbono Shel Olam has both midas. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is an Avinu, he cares, and he's a Malkeinu, he has the ability, he wants to help us, he's chalishing, Everybody knows in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, Chazal tell us that when Adam HaRishon was here in the world, there was nothing. It was all the whole surface. There was no, you know, trees and grass and everything else until Adam HaRishon made that first tefillah. And it's that tefillah that has the Kerach Rabbeisah. You're living life without tefillah. You're living a deprived life. You're going to continue living a deprived life because you're depriving yourself of the basic brachas that the Ribbono Shel Olam has prepared for you. But you just don't get it. Because lemaisa, at the end of the day, you're not actually being davening in order to get those tefillahs, in order to get those brachas. So many times, lemaisa, we have the opportunities to daven a shacharis, a mincha, a maariv, but we don't feel it. Because we don't realize there's someone there. We have to realize, Rabbi said, the koyach of a tefillah. We have to realize the koyach of our words, what they can do. And so many times we have to realize something else. We're holding now Erev Shovavim. Beis Hashem, next week we'll discuss what Shovavim means and how it means to us and how relevant it is to our lives. But one of the things that we'll discuss is the koyach adivo, the koyach of the peh, the koyach of the mouth. The mouth is a tremendous koyach. Zog the Chofetz Chaim. People wonder why their own davening doesn't get work. What's the pshat? I daven. I learn. What's the matter? Why is it not doing anything? Zog the Chofetz Chaim, poshut. If you have a beautiful instrument, and you ruin that instrument, and you break it, how do you expect to play the beautiful music? So the Chofetz Chaim, your mouth is a beautiful instrument. You can use it to play the most beautiful music in the world. A tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a davening, a learning. A beautiful instrument with such beautiful music. If you metamer it, and you pollute it, and you ruin that mouth, how do you expect it to play the beautiful music afterwards? It's impossible. As I state in Chofetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisai. We have to realize tefillah is something that we have to really, really understand. And it's something more than that. The mokum at tefillah also. We have to give the mokum of Kedusha as well. Imagine if I told you, you know, you can go to the White House, you can go to Buckingham Palace. Wow, unbelievable. You walk inside over there, they say to you, hey, you're a commoner. What are you doing in here? Get out of here. You need an appointment. You need to dress the right way. You need to act the right way. You can't just walk in. Here we have a Beis HaMedrash. Here we have a Beis HaKnesses, a shul. The Shechinah is here, Mamish HaMikdash Ma'at. How do we just walk in? Walk in, do what we want, say what we want. Yeah, what's the difference? Come on, do it. If you'd walk in L'Havdil, Elef Avdolis, to a place of a king, to the place of a prime minister, of a queen, whatever it may be, you would never be allowed to walk in such a way. We're here in a mockery that the Melech Malchei Amlochem is with us. The Rebbeinu Shalom that wants to give us all the good in this world, bracha, tzlocha, shidduchim, children, nachas, everything that we need. You just have to ask in the right way. If you come to a davening with the right frame of mind that there's someone listening and someone that really cares and someone that really wants to do good, so then you get the tremendous siyata d'shmaya that everything good comes there. I want to finish with one last maisa, Moedika maisa, Rebbetzin Kanievsky. Oliver Shalom once said of this Meridika Maisha, she said, it's a true Maisha this one. There was a big mall in Haifa a number of years ago where, if anybody knows the Maisha, it's a famous Maisha in Haifa. There was a big mall there and there was a truck that was parked right by one of the supporting beams of the actual mall. And eventually someone found that it looked a little bit suspicious. They called the police. And they eventually told them that there's something suspicious over there. They checked it out. They realized it was a bomb and they defused the bomb. They said there's no question about it. If this bomb would have gone off, this would have brought down the entire structure of the mall. It was on a supporting beam. They had placed it in the right place. The entire mall would have come crashing down with thousands of people on all the floors coming with it. It would have caused a catastrophe. You can't imagine. Even the biggest not believers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the time over there of Haifa said this is a neis galuyah, which is a 100% from Hashem. It's unbelievable. Rebbetzin Kanievsky wanted to know, how did it come about? How did they save all these people? What was the koyach that did it? What was the siyata d'shmaya? What's the pshat? What was the gavaldiga schus that they had? Zug Rebbetzin Kanievsky the following maisa. She said there was a girl living in Haifa, not a firm girl. She was living in Haifa and she had some pains and she asked her mother to go to the doctor. Went to the doctor, did some tests, and they realized, unfortunately, that Rachmana Litzlan Aleinu, she had Yena Machla. It was tremendous, and they realized it was a late stage. Rachmana Litzlan, she had cancer, and it was a very, very, very late stage. It spread throughout her whole body, and they took her straight into hospital with some operations, and she was in hospital for recuperation. And while she was there, friends, completely not religious, would come to visit her. And she decided, and she really gave a lot of thought into her life, where her life is leading her, direction of life. And she said to her friends, you know, I remember learning as a kid that there's something called a korban, there's something called an offering in the Beit HaMikdash. We don't have such a thing nowadays. I would like to give my own korban, she said. I want to give my own offering to Hashem. What's my offering to Hashem? She told her friends, go to my wardrobe in my house and chuck out all of my non-sneers dresses, skirts, tops, whatever it may be. Take it out and burn it. This is going to be my offering. This will be my korban. And they were like shocked, but they said, you know what? 100%, that's what you want? Meyudik, a schus for your refuah shalema. And you know how it goes. Everyone gets religious at these times. That's how it goes. Kids, so they went to her house, they took all her clothes off, they burnt all of the clothes that were not sneers. And the friend said, you know what? If that's going to help her get well, we want to do the same thing. And they said, that's it, we're going to do the same thing. They took all their clothes in their wardrobe, their non-sneers, skirts and the shirt, whatever it was, and they took them, they made a huge fire, almost like a bonfire from Erev Pesach with the chometz and the mayudik azach and eats it. Now they had a problem, right? Now the problem was, I haven't got many clothes to wear, what am I going to do? So they decided they're going to take this girl out of hospital for a day or two, right? They got permission from the doctors, they're going to go to the Haifa Mall, and they're going to go together, b'schus harifu shalem, and they're going to buy sneers clothing, a tremendous thing. So Revitz and Kanievsky, at that moment they were in the mall, and it was at that moment their korban, their offering to the Rebbeinu Shalom that they gave was the schus to save thousands of people. The schus of a korban that nowadays we have as a tefillah. Our tefillah is a korban, Rabbi said. We have to treat it that way. We have to give it the proper respect. Respect in how we speak, the respect of what we do in the Beis Medrash, how we treat this makom of a makom tefillah. How we give the koyches to a tefillah and realize there's someone on the other end of the line listening who wants to help you. And Be'ez Hashem Rabbi Yisrael, which have Siyat HaDishmaya, that the Rabbi Yisrael Shataka give us Siyat HaDishmaya to really feel the tefillahs, that will have an enjoyment from tefillah, not only have an enjoyment from tefillah, but Be'ez Hashem, through that, we will have the schus of getting all the brachas that the Rabbi Yisrael has prepared for us in Shamayim, that we should all have a gewaldiger, simchas dika, brachas dika, nachas dika life, till 120 years.
Amen.
Shkoyach.